This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about the original 1937 Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
1937, that is a long, long time ago. I have to say, this is one of the first films I've seen in my life, like early stages. There was a VHS tape of this movie. My grandma would show me on the small screen. You know, one of those really small TV screens with the VHS tape and with all the different buttons and stuff.
My grandparents had a VHS of this movie too.
Wow, did everyone have a VHS tape somewhere in the cupboards and just like, here we go, here's the copy of Snow White. But it is an incredible film in terms of animation. This came out in 1937. This is something that looks so beautiful in terms of rotoscoping, you know, capturing performers, the way they move, and makes it so real. But it has so many whimsical elements that just makes you fall in love with this movie. It just makes you feel hopeful, makes you happy. This film is just a really nice time.
Yeah, this is actually the very first full feature length Disney animated movie ever made, and one of the very first animated feature films ever. I mean, what an achievement. And for a film like this to have such cultural impact, you know, Walt Disney essentially made this movie to prove that animation as a storytelling medium has merit and that you can tell emotional and beautiful stories. And I think that him and the team behind this film absolutely succeeded with that. Mm. We've talked about the original Pinocchio on the pod and the original Mulan, the original Little Mermaid. It's always before one of these live action remakes comes out. And you always just look at it and I always feel so enchanted by just what they're able to do. As you said, hand-drawn animation is brilliant and there's an insane attention to detail. So, you know, we all know Snow White's story.
Yeah, if you get spoiled. Almost 100 years later, like, what? Snow White eats the
What
apple?
Are you saying? What? Yeah, but you know, basically Snow White is a princess run out of the castle by the evil queen, and you know, she finds this house and these seven magical little guys, and they have a lovely little jaunt together in the forest. That's the bulk of this movie, right? And when Snow White first comes across the house, she's like, oh, this is so cool, and she looks inside and she wipes a hole in the window because it's so like grubby, and she looks inside, she peers in, and a little squirrel does the same thing, and so there are two little holes in this window, and then it cuts back to the outside of the house and the holes are still there, and it's just this incredible little detail that even in movies now you can see mistakes. A film they may have spent over $200 million, and you're in the cinema and you just go, well, there's a mistake that you just made. But in this kind of film, just to see those very tiny details for the very first Disney film, that just kind of blew me away.
It's just the details that make you feel so immersed into the story, into the world. It just makes you feel giddy. You're just like, oh my god, this is so cute. This is such a vibe. You see everybody just vibing. That's the bulk of the movie. Everybody's just like having a great time, singing songs, which is so wholesome. And you don't really see that nowadays with a lot of movies. I mean, the Wild Robot animation peak right there. But as we said about, we talked about Mulan, we talked about Pinocchio, Little Mermaid. These are the classics. These are the ones that people really treasure. They are a stamp in animation and storytelling. And they've paved a lot of way for animation to be a medium, you know, it's an art. But now it's remakes and people trying to, well, Disney trying to, you know, bring it back from the dead. Just like, here you go, here's the beloved characters that we love from animation to live action. We've probably said this many, many times. It's pointless. It's something that we just don't want to see. And today, watching this movie, I just felt like, wow, this is such an important movie to think about in terms of, like, it came out in 1937, but also Walt Disney to prove that animation is so important.
We're still getting these remakes. I can't believe that we're still getting them. I really thought maybe Mulan, definitely Pinocchio would be the final nail of the coffin. I mean, 2 years ago now we had Little Mermaid that underperformed. Mufasa the Lion King underperformed. I am sure that Snow White will as well. We got Lilo and Stitch this year, and I just don't care about these movies. And the reason why I want to do this one, I want to do Snow White and the new Snow White, was because this is the original Disney film. Like, there is actually a lot in this film that, more so than something like The Little Mermaid or Lilo and Stitch, which has only had like 30, 40 years in between. This has got nearly 100. So there's a lot to talk about, like, you know, based on watching it now and coming back. I will be interested to see how they will approach it. But just the way they do it, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that next week. But the thing is this film, it reminds me of an autumnal Sunday. It reminds me of something just impenetrably cute, something warm like a hug. And it's this completely childlike fantasy where the forest is beautiful and full of colour and light, and then terrifying and dark at night, and all the animals are terrifying when there's just their eyes in the shadows. But in the day, they're lovely friends who dance around and help with the housework. There's something so cute about this movie. And they really don't make it like this anymore, do they?
Yeah.
Like you said it yourself, The Wild Robot was a fantastic film. But as good as that film is, and I do think it's better than Snow White, there's something about this movie, man. There's something about the way it looks, something about the way it feels. Maybe it's just nostalgia from watching it on my grandparents' VHS. Maybe that is all it is. But there's just something about this movie that makes me just go, wow. I want to just book a trip to Disneyland. This is why Disney as a studio is so magical, so amazing. Disney as a corporation, on the other hand, is the opposite of that. They really are the harbinger of doom for all these beautiful, magical feelings. Do you remember the Disney, like, sizzle reel-esque advert at the beginning of DVDs?
Is it the one where they show all the highlights of the Disney movies going across in many different ways?
Yes, yeah, that. It starts with Jack Sparrow saying, we have our heading, and then Peter Pan goes, here we go! And then, like, there's just this whole, like, swooping music. Disney is a part of our lives. We live in the West. We have grown up with these films. We still go to cinema to see them. And my God, if that music, that little like trailer sizzle reel makes me feel so like the watching this film, it brought a lot of that back. I'm weak to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's really strange that we have so much love for the classics, you know, for the really old movies that had so much love and so much wonder that you truly missed, because now Disney doesn't have that magic anymore. It hurts. It does hurt. But that scissor reel, oh, it's so beautiful. It's like a grand entrance. It's like when you go to Disneyland, that's how it makes you feel. Like,
and you see the castle? Oh, man.
You see the castle. You've just gone to a different place. Snow White, though. Yeah, that has that. That has that.
Absolutely. I think that, okay, so pretty much every scene in this film, especially in the middle chunk, pretty much every scene is twice as long as it needs to be, which it makes for a pretty slow film, even though it's a fairly short runtime. But for how beautiful and full of life the animation is, how handcrafted and bursting with artistry, it makes it so worth it. For every scene of the character just hanging out or cleaning or washing their faces or having an evening of song and dance, it's worth it to just go, wow, how the hell did they do this with just pencils and paper? I mean, that's truly astounding. 1937, and that this still exists, over 80 minutes of animation coming together to create one story in a time when that was so rare, and for it to have such longevity and cultural impact over almost 100 years from this film that dozens of artists poured their soul into, it's incredible. And that's another way that this film is a lost art. You just don't get that anymore. You don't get that without 1,000 hurdles to jump through and without studio interference. And yeah, like, sure, there was studio difficulties back then, of course, the Hollywood system. Haze Code, exactly. But I do feel like it feels much rarer that we've had something like this. I couldn't truly think of something since Avatar. Of course, there have been massive movies, but they're all based on IP. They're all using nostalgia or using franchises that have been going on for decades. Truly, for this film to come out of just a fairy tale is astounding.
Oh yeah, we don't really hear about fairy tales today. Most likely some of them are outdated. It does show that at the end of the film where the prince kisses Snow White, it's that.
In like the final minute, it's like, mwah, okay.
They're reunited and it's like, I'm off with this guy. Cool.
Yeah.
See you guys. That's literally it. It's like, the movie is a bit of a vibe, but then it goes dark real quick. Snow White eats the apple and then the dwarves are like, let's get the witch. And then the witch is dead. There's a moment of time when Snow White is just trapped. Well, not trapped, but sleeping. Don't get it mixed with Sleeping Beauty, but it is like that.
Here's the thing. Is she dead? Because the dwarves, surely, and I want to preface, using dwarves for a lack of a better term, I know there are controversies surrounding that.
Yes.
In the new one, they are just magical creatures. I always kind of saw them as magical creatures, but yeah, using dwarves. But do the dwarves check her pulse and they're like, she's dead? Or do they just, because there's a little title which says, the dwarves couldn't bury her, and it's like, so she's dead.
But there's a doctor, right? There's Doc.
Is he an actual doctor?
I don't know, because his name's Doc.
Does he have a PhD?
A PhD? Like, out in the woodlands. He's just, like, mining. He's like, oh, yeah, I have a PhD, and I use that.
That's the prequel that we need. He's like, guys, I don't want to be a miner. I want to be a doctor. I want to have my own practice. And you just know how that's going
to
go.
Do you think he failed to get that PhD And then he was like, I'll be a doctor.
He had to go back to the mines because he couldn't get his PhD. You know, at the beginning, they're mining diamonds. He spent all their diamonds. Oh, it's a tragic backstory.
And then they don't realize about the pulse as well. Like, the doctor's like, pulse.
Yeah, dead.
But, you know, like in Futurama, there's that joke. Is like, he always checks some people when they date. He's like, they're dead.
Okay, well, I have a dwarf-related question for you. Name them.
Okay, so we've got sleepy, sneezy, dark, grumpy, dopey.
Doing well so
and
far.
And then happy.
Yeah.
And then, wait, what? No, what was the other one?
Rudolph. I don't know the other one's name.
Rudolph?
Rudolph the Red Nose.
Like, Rudolph in this movie?
No, I remember it because he's the one who's super shy.
Oh, Bashful.
Bashful. Yeah, okay, very nice.
Yeah, see, I remember it all.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that.
Look at me.
I couldn't have done that. You did it. I'm so proud of you. That's such a funny thing because there's seven. It's like if you ever read The Hobbit, there are 13 dwarfs in that one. And, you know, the way that Tolkien describes it, they might as well all be the same person, apart from Bomber, who's the arbitrarily fat one. And it's a strange one because it's just really seven people with one character trait each, apart from Grumpy. They all swoon over Snow White. It's a really weird thing to watch. Okay, here's a question on that.
Uh-huh.
Do you think this film is dated?
What do you mean by dated? Do we mean it's outdated or is it not dated?
Yeah, do you think it's outdated?
Yeah, it is outdated. What about you?
I think it is dated.
So, oh, interesting. Interesting. I want to hear it.
Okay. As great as this film is, watching it back now, I think is a little bit insane. Yeah, obviously, 100 years ago, things have changed. So, of course, it's dated in that respect. And I don't think it's in a way where you watch it and go, oh, this is atrocious. Just in a way that you become aware of all the differences and how attitudes of the early to mid 20th century can be seen now. So, like, Snow White's whole motivation is, one day my prince will come, and her accepted role in the film is caregiver, cleaner, cook, someone whose beauty is to be marveled at and adored, but not someone who has any agency or an ability to think for herself. I mean, the evil queen is in disguise is a horribly suspicious figure who's like, yes, take a bite of this apple, don't you want love? And Snow White's just, you know, she's so pure, and in her naivety she's just like, yeah, I do want love, cheers. And she eats the apple. Her entire being is driven by this need for a man, her prince, and she literally has no other drive, to the point where all he does is kiss her at the end, as you said, and she's like, oh, great, everything I ever wanted, see ya, and then just leaves with him. And I think you see that through a lot of old princess movies, and even today, how certain demographics of people still expect women to act, and themselves act towards women. It's all over this film, and ones like it in the era. And yes, this film has dated in those respects, which maybe is the argument for why it does warrant a remake, something to retell the story in a way that isn't so archaic. But at the same time, surely there are new stories to tell. I look at this film and I do think, yeah, no, this isn't something I'd want to teach a child of the gender roles in society. But at the same time, just redressing old things in a way that strips them of the artistic merit that we've gushed about, it's massively creatively bankrupt. And we will see next week what changes they make in the new Snow White. But I feel like I don't think it'll have an ounce of the ethereal beauty that this one does, or the magic that can carry an entire century of storytelling. Like, we're still talking about the original Snow White today, the great and the terrible. And I fear the only legacy these live action remakes will have is how they have contributed to the death of Hollywood filmmaking as it once was.
Yeah, that's something to address with filmmaking and storytelling in old Hollywood. I mean, old Hollywood was restricted by the Hays Code, but there was a lot of sexist remarks, gender roles, and a lot has progressed now. A lot has changed, and we look into films about perspective. And 100 years ago, the views and everything has just changed dramatically. I think it's a big lesson in terms of storytelling and stereotypes as well, and how you want to address that. I mean, I'm intrigued to see how the remake is going to be dealing with all of that, and dwarfism as well. That's important too.
Yeah, no, I think you're bang on there. And you look at the films that have come out now, the latest Disney animated musicals or princess movies, the ones spring to my mind are Moana, Encanto, Wish. Those films, to me at least, they take a lot of the spirit of something that you see in Snow White. and I don't think it is quite as beautiful. You know, CG animated films are never going to be, but those characters are the ones that I think they are the role models that you want kids to be looking at. And that doesn't mean this film should be forgotten by any means, but it's just interesting to look. You know, we're not here to decide what should be done with Snow White, but it's just interesting to see, because there's also a thing about this film. We talked about this when we did Pinocchio as well, but a thing that this film does that no animated film these days really has the balls to do, and that is that it's kind of terrifying. So in Pinocchio, we talked about the donkeys, and that's still terrifying, but there are scenes in this one with the evil queen, like where she makes the potion, and everything is so atmospheric, and the sound design is like people screaming and cackling. It's haunting. Even for me as an adult, you can kind of see why people turn around and say this film was traumatic as a kid, because it's not as horrifying as the donkeys, but it's creepy.
You know what it really reminds me of, that transformation? What? Substance. It really reminds me of that. Because I was like, that has to be some kind of inspiration. If anyone's seen The Substance, you might know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to go into the gory bits. This is Snow White. We want to be wholesome here. We don't want to be like traumatic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's like, this must be like one of the most influential animation film that has paved a lot of way for Walt Disney as well. So yeah, it's terrifying. I have to say, there was the forest scene that was truly terrifying. I was like, well, I watched this as a kid and I was terrified of this. I do remember that, watching those scenes. It's like, wow, those are really terrifying on a small TV screen. Yeah, I mean, with the noise and everything, with the VHS tape going or some of that.
The scene where Snow White sees the evil queen in her disguise, and the shadow kind of looms over Snow White, and then you cut and it's just the evil queen standing there, and she's like got the hood on and the old and creepy vibe and the apple. That's some scary stuff. I like the evil queen. Obviously, Disney villains are always incredibly camp, incredibly fun, and the evil queen doesn't get a lot to do, but I just love her pettiness and how she's like, oh, I must be the most beautiful. And she goes to such lengths, and with ever Disney villains, she has a spectacular fall to her death at the end, trying to crush the dwarfs with a boulder. It's just fun seeing those fun kind of campy vibes from a villain. Always great to see.
Yeah. It's funny now that we've gone on to the remake and we've gotten our actors. Gal Gadot is playing the queen.
She sure is, dude.
Yeah, if anyone's seen that clip of her turning around, you know, just slowly, what did you say?
Oh, that's going to be
if
fun,
you compare this, this is crazy. You look at this film and then you look at that and it's like night and day. What is going on? What? Why?
I cannot wait
to talk about that. We cannot wait to go into the cinema and suffer every time we see.
I can. I definitely screen. Can. Okay, yeah. I have one more scary thing to talk about.
Scary?
And this one,
spooky.
This one may go darker than you think, so get excited. But there's a psychologically scary thing about this film, and I don't know how to exactly explain it.
What is your theory? Okay,
yeah, walk with me here. There's an element at the end where, as I said earlier, the naivety of Snow White basically kills herself. She's buried in this tomb as the seasons go by, which in itself is a kind of haunting image with these choral voices in the score and the light that kind of beckons from above, like the call to heaven. And then the final scene where she's taken to the castle that almost emerges out of the clouds after the prince inexplicably comes out of nowhere and saves her. It's kind of like she died. And I'm being serious here. You know how there's a theory that at the ending of Grease, when they fly off in the car,
is
Danny and Sandy ascending to heaven after dying at the start of the film, right? Well, I kind of read the end of Snow White as her death and the fulfillment of an unrealistic fantasy that was never real, that she put empty faith in, that got her killed. I know it's a fairy tale, and I'm just being old and grizzled and using my stupid film degree instead of just enjoying a sweet Disney movie. But I was kind of haunted at the end. It genuinely was like, she put all her chips on the love of her life coming to save her. It got her killed because she ate the apple, and then in heaven, she dreamt of the prince whisking her away into a bloody castle that emerges out of the heavens. I don't know if you got this, but I kind of, the film ended and I was just like, oh my god.
Oh, wow.
You don't get that?
What an existential dread that I'm feeling right now. Yeah, I can really see that now. Because I felt like it ended on a weird note, because it's like, oh, the prince saves her and kisses her. And it's like, it just felt really out of place. So I'm just like, is she dreaming of that? I think someone might have said that in a theory somewhere.
I can almost imagine writing about it at university. You do a reading where somebody's done a feminist reading of Snow White, and it's all about this ending. I think it's interesting, because that's definitely not the author's intent, of course.
No, it's interesting how there are movies that have hidden meanings little hidden ideas about what is it trying to be. That's a very interesting perspective to see, as that, you know, just Snow White just imagines a life. Damn.
Well, yeah. A lot of these things are based off really grim stories as well. Not just the Grimm brothers, but like genuinely, I don't know if this is a Grimm brothers story actually, but a lot of fairy tales are messed up.
Yeah.
What a note to finish on.
Wow. Thank you, Tom, for that insightful ending that we...
That's all right, mate. That's fine.
It's Snow White every week. Oh, wait. Was that Shrek with the thing, you know, with Snow White? Or is it Sleeping Beauty? Or something? There was somewhere in the Shrek movie, there was a woman exactly in this, like, tomb casket or something like that in Shrek somewhere. So I'm like, did she ever wake up?
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah. Take it away, Tom. Take it away.
What are you going to give this movie out of 10?
7.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. 7 out of 10.
We ended on a depressing note.
There were songs, you know?
There were songs, yeah.
There are some sweet songs.
Wait, does it count
Whistle
as a musical?
Whistle While You Work? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, it's no Disney Renaissance. That's when the music, you know, Lion King, Mulan, Little Mermaid, yeah. Beauty and the Beast, that's when the songs were, like, kicking it. But yeah, sure, it's a musical. Fine. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I apologize. if you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, it's more Snow White. It's the new Snow White. Who knows, man?
Who knows?
My faith levels are 0.
Yeah, I have no faith.
And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Snow White 2025, if you even bother to watch it. And even if you don't, just let us know and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell on Blue Sky for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to Elgin Smith for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals of always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.